Sound of Football podcast with Terry DeBelton, Graham Sibley, and your host, Jan Bilton.
So, welcome to Sound of Football 1-2-3. I'm your host, it seems, this week, Jan Bilton. I'm joined by Terry and by Graham, and some beers, which are very nice and refreshing.
Cheers,
chaps. So this week we're talking about international football, or the international break. It's pros and cons. So starting with you, Terry, what are your views on the international break that we've had imposed on us?
Well, I've not really been paying that much attention to it, if I'm being completely honest with you. I do find this international break this time of the season to be something of an annoyance. I don't think that's a terribly controversial thing to say.
No.
I think most people do. I like international football in its place. And I also get annoyed with people who seem to obviously not like international football. I do get irritated by people who go, international break. Because I think, well, you know, we do need the international break. We need these qualifiers in order to go to the World Cup, go to the European Championship, and, you know, it's a bit crap if we don't go. So we do need them. But this particular one, the timing of it, is always a little bit irritating coming so soon.
I was going to ask you, the timing is very, very soon after the start of the season. It's a week after the international, the transfer window closed. Sorry, so everyone wants to see their new players playing, and they get one shot, and then you're kind of off for 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. And because it's the first game, I mean, the international qualification, certainly the UEFA ones, aren't like the start of a club season. There isn't that sense of build-up. There's not like a, England are playing their first game of the season. I don't know why that is, but there isn't. There isn't that kind of sense of pre...
Yeah.
I think because it gets in the way of the start of the club season, it's sort of like it comes across as a killjoy. But in many ways, there might be some wisdom in actually bringing it before the start of the season, but then people complain about that. In fact, I think, because there's the international friendlies, and they, in some instances in Europe, did start before the start of the season.
Mm.
But I think because they kind of come across as killjoys, they don't sort of, you don't have that sense of anticipation. And I perhaps people also think that qualification is a bit of a, well, not an annoyance, but a bit boring.
Mm. What are you, Graham?
I agree, but only in respect of the fact that, you know, having this stop-start action at the start of the season just takes away all the momentum behind it. Everyone is really excited, and everyone wants as many games as possible in the first few weeks, and then, you know, it just grinds to this awful halt.
Mm.
And yeah, you're right. I mean, it's not like the start of a football season, the start of a qualifying campaign. And I think actually the start of a qualifying campaign is even more boring than like next year, when we'll be like at the most exciting part of it. We're like, this break next year will be to see whether or not we qualify or not. But it's not like you're going to see new players playing for England. You might see a couple of debutants coming in, but...
Well, Raheem Sterling's been called into the squad, hasn't he, for this one? But that, no one's expecting him to play.
It's
just that there's been a couple of guys. He's a guy from Liverpool.
Oh. Embarrassing.
It's your first day.
It's your first day. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we'll be leaving it in though.
that shouldn't make the edit. I'm positive.
We don't edit really. Should have mentioned that.
Yeah, quite important.
he won't play. He's 18, and he's made a fantastic start for Liverpool. I'm kind of digressing a little bit here, but generally speaking, you don't get to see necessarily new players. Well, you certainly haven't with England, not recently. In fact, if anything, you know, Hodgson's been quite conservative in his selection.
I think, though, at club level, you do see when you get players, especially coming in from the continent, players that, all right, you may have seen in the old Champions League game, but you're not used to seeing or to seeing them play. Well, you don't know how they're going to play on the English in the Premier League. I don't know if people are that excited about when new players who are maybe more established Premier League players get into the England team and trying to fit in with the England team, because usually they don't play as well as they do for their clubs anyway.
No, well, I mean, you can't, can you? You can't.
No,
I mean, it's difficult playing international football.
Yeah,
and I also think that there's, because the players are particularly Premier League players, and this goes to any of the senior European leagues, that if you're playing in those leagues, then you've got to be absolutely on it 100% all the time in order to keep your place. In order to stay competitive. And the international break comes on particularly so soon after the start of the season, and these guys are just completely out of rhythm. They're just not with it at all. Not to mention the fact that, you know, the qualifying groups are usually uninspiring.
Do you think then that's why there seems to be, and I don't know if there's a I've seen conspiracy where there isn't any.
Oh, good.
Good, let's
but here we go anyway. But there just seems to be a whole raft of players that seem to get injured just before England games or international games, that for really minor things.
Yeah.
Johnson for Sunderland pulled up with some injury, or another Cole, pulled out as well. And it just seems really coincidental that just before an England game, it tends to be more friendlies, but I seem to notice it a bit.
Yeah,
it's almost like it's not really that important. I've just started with my new club, or I don't want to go to the other side of Europe.
If Rooney hadn't had his leg half cut off, then he might have found it.
I'm not including that injury in this conspiracy. I think he's all right with that one. Yeah,
and well done for not mentioning Rooney's gash as well.
You just did.
It's a tedious joke. Oh no! Well, we've got to stay relevant. Everything makes the edit.
I'll just mention his minge instead.
No. Anyway, that's put me right off track. I was about to say something there. I'll take a sip of beer instead.
Okay.
You can talk.
Oh, right, I will do that. But what would be the alternative? Because, I mean, we know that the placement of these international breaks is so they don't interfere with the Champions League and Europa League.
Well, not that much, anyway.
Not that much, anyway.
I mean, there is the one in October, isn't there, anything? Mm. So you've got a whole season ahead of you, the top players are going to be busy, probably playing twice a week. So you've got to squeeze them in there somewhere. The way that the qualification format is, I don't really see what choice there is but to play these games. And realistically, no. I mean, I think there's going to be a slight tweaking to the format. Which has been arranged with UEFA and the top clubs. They've managed to do something about shortening the calendar, but I think that's only in terms of lessening the number of friendlies. I don't think that will shorten the qualification campaign.
I was going to say, is the answer not in changing where the international games are played, but actually having fewer club games?
Well, I mean, UEFA, I suspect, prides itself on the fact that every single team, technically speaking, enters into the competition, well, not technically, actually speaking, enters into the competition, or the qualifying competition, for every major tournament at exactly the same stage as each other. There's no pre-qualifying in UEFA, unlike in CONCACAF and unlike, I suspect, in Africa, certainly in Asia, and definitely in Oceania. There are pre-qualifying matches that go on between so-called lesser nations. That doesn't happen in UEFA.
No.
So you, San Marino play Spain. They're drawn in that team, or Holland, or Germany, or England. Or
effectively, it's like every league club starting the FA Cup in the first round, isn't it?
Yeah, quite so. That would be the same thing, that's right.
Yeah.
And many people feel very strongly that that's a good thing. But there are others who feel very strongly that that's not a good thing, and that perhaps the burden could be lifted if San Marino, Andorra,
and obviously
Luxembourg, Liechtenstein.
In UEFA's showpiece event, the Champions League, the champions of these little countries have to start their journey to the Champions League at the end of June.
Yes, absolutely. Only a few days after the end of Euro 2012,
whereas
the
third place
Europa
team,
League qualifying season started.
Whereas the third place team in England and in Spain and Germany.
And Germany. And,
gets automatically straight into the group stage.
That's right.
So the precedent on the club stage, as far as UEFA are concerned, is there for them to say, no, right, okay, if you're a low ranking country, then you have to put a lot more effort into getting further into the tournament, which, you know, is cyclical because basically you earn your points from how far you get into the tournament, and so the best teams stay in there.
The counter argument, of course, is that this isn't club football; it's international football.
Yeah.
And that there are teams. I'm struggling to think off the top of my head, but I will say, let's say the Faroe Islands, who still are a small nation, but have probably professionalised a little quicker and become tougher to beat because they play in the qualifying stages, and have improved. Do we remember when Turkey were rubbish?
Yeah.
Well, are we old enough to remember when Turkey were rubbish? Well, in the 80s?
England used to give
them a right shoeing. Do you remember when the 94 qualifying campaign, and if you may, or may, I remember, England were expected to absolutely honk for Turks, no question about it. They won 1-0, I think, or 2-0, I think, at home, and people were like outraged and shocked and blamed Graham Taylor. That was the start of the time.
But it seemed to fit quite well.
Maybe they were just really good at defending long ball football.
Yeah, but in the past we had beaten them.
They had the measure of Carlton Palmer.
They were well known for being rubbish. When we played them in that qualifying campaign in Izmir, their coach said that he would swim the boss for us if England didn't win the game, and England very nearly didn't win the game. So they obviously, they're a big nation, but they used to be rubbish. And now they've become really, really good. Without that sort of parity, they may not have, or their progress may not have been so quick. The counter argument, of course, is San Marino, who remain awful and have been awful all this time.
Yeah.
And maybe there is an argument to say that, you know, nations with such a small population as they could perhaps, it would be better if they played a pre-qualifying tournament. I don't know how I feel about that.
I was just going to say that. Yes, they draw their players from a much smaller population. So there's probably a lot to be said from that. Turkey's quite a vast nation. So,
but okay, you've also got such a thing as the Champions route in the Champions League now, which means smaller nations now have a better chance of competing in the group stage. Could a seeding process be put in place to?
That's how it would work.
Yeah. What I would think is why not have two-legged knockout games? If you have it for the playoffs, for the tournament, which, you know, you basically go through this whole group stage and then it comes down to
what, for
to,
the whole, what, or for everyone?
Yeah, for everyone.
We all go into a big two-legged. Do what? Go into a knockout.
Go all into a knockout.
Right.
Straight there.
So
straight,
we can get knocked out by.
Yeah.
That would be great.
But,
I mean, I'm not quite sure.
It would be, but you'd probably never see England play at a World Cup final. Would you?
If it was a perfectly seeded tournament, across two legs as well. So
I mean, we're seeded anyway.
Yeah.
The tournament is seeded based on the FIFA rankings.
Yeah.
Indeed, those which place England third in the
third in the world.
Third in the world. Yeah.
We are third in the world, you know.
Third in the world, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we would be in a good
only
place.
Italy and Spain are better than
so
us.
So we'd almost certainly avoid the top, you know, the top European sides until.
Is it Italy and Spain or Germany and Spain? It's
Germany. I don't know.
I think it's Italy and Spain, I think. Yeah.
I don't know. All I know is that we're third.
Yes.
Come on, third in the world.
Is there some kind of complex algorithm that we need to know about?
It's because we haven't lost a football match in Yonks. The FIFA rankings are empirical. They are based on winning and losing football matches.
Even friendlies.
Although, I mean, the friendlies carry the least amount of points. But it is worth bearing in mind that England also got to the quarterfinals of a major international tournament, which carries an awful lot of points.
Mm.
And many people, including myself, don't feel that they were entirely convincing. But, you know, FIFA rankings don't see that. The FIFA rankings just look at the rather vulgar matter, and that is, the number of times they've won. And they think, oh, right, well, they seem to have won.
What measure of that is any football team?
It's also worth exactly. You know, they don't measure the amount of contempt that their supporters have for their performance. That's a crap way of measuring rankings.
Yeah.
That's the problem with the FIFA rankings, is that they are accurate. they are based on results. But of course, there's results and there's results. And also, you know, the South Americans haven't been playing that much. Last year, the South American teams were quite heavily populating the top 10 because they were playing in the Copa America, so they were accumulating lots of points. This year, it's the Europeans. And obviously, in 2 years' time, it'll be the World Cup, and so it'll be a bit of a mixture. So it's a bit, it's always a bit skewed, and it's a bit funny as a consequence. But that's why it is. It's just that we've just come off the back of a major international tournament, which we've done okay in, and we, you know, we've only lost one game in like how long, and that was on penalties. So yeah,
and I don't think penalty losses actually count. Actually,
I wouldn't be surprised.
I don't know
for certain, but I wouldn't be surprised. It's all based primarily on 3 points for a win, and then you add various different weights and measures.
But as they say, based on the quality of opposition, you can prove anything with facts, can't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely, and it is ridiculous. England are not the third best team in the world.
No, I mean, as well, then, you know, 75% of statistics are made up on the spot. We all know that.
Yeah, so. We all know that. But I do like the idea of a knockout tournament. But I do. But I mean, I tremble at the idea of some teams having a really bad day and then just not. Mm. And that's not.
That's the danger. That's what I meant when I said England would make it to a final. I don't mean to be too disrespectful. But you know, there's a chance that we would play Scotland and they would beat us.
Yeah, because
there's every chance we would play Scotland.
There is the right.
I'm going to play my unresearched fact here. Card, so it could be hopelessly
wrong. Playing a joke, right?
But isn't it? I've read somewhere that the African Cup of Nations, the qualifying for it this year has been condensed.
That's right.
Down, and I think that's a knockout, yep. Isn't it?
So I believe it's two-legged, but it's a straight knockout.
But it'll be interesting to see how that works.
Either Senegal or Ivory Coast went out because they were drawn against each other.
Ah, that was
horror. Mm. Now, because they're having an extra Africa Cup of Nations because they're changing their cycle, so they're squeezing another one in now, so as not to coincide with the World Cup anymore. And and they haven't got time to do a full qualifying round. What will be interesting will be if the European clubs put pressure on the African Federation to retain that qualifying system.
Yeah,
we like this because you're not sending our players away because you know what European clubs are like. They paid for their African players and they damn well want to keep them.
Yeah.
Who do these people think they are?
Exactly.
Taking them away, playing for your country. Your country's here, mate. Yeah.
It is an inconvenience though for a lot of clubs, isn't it? If you talk about the African Cup of Nations, that drags players away for an inconvenient time of the season.
Hmm.
And of course, the qualifiers for any international tournament drags players away. And clubs, I imagine it's not just fans that get quite irritated by it, if indeed you do. But
the clubs
know this
though, don't they? They do have calendars.
But there's a risk then to their investment that they're going to come back with a broken leg.
The obvious answer to that is don't sign them.
Don't sign
African players if you're worried about them playing.
I mean, any international player.
Well, no, of course, yeah.
Yeah. They're going to go away on duty, and you've got a risk that he's going to come back.
Well, what do you think? I mean, would you?
Yeah.
How much do you care about international football? I mean, what would you rather see happen? Would you rather see Sunderland win the league or England win the World Cup?
Sunderland win the league.
There are, of course, people out there who feel completely differently to you, but then I suspect that probably a lot of people in England don't feel that way. I feel exactly the same as you. Certainly people who support Premier League clubs.
Hmm.
When I find the whole idea nonsense, Palace would never win the league. But I mean, I know a problem.
I think for that very reason, it's easy to say, isn't it? Because we never would.
Hmm.
I think like most fans, I get quite excited when England are in the finals of a tournament and do quite well or get knocked out and the penalties as they usually do, but you know, I think at this stage of it, I couldn't be less interested. It might seem unpatriotic, but I just, you know, as I said when we kicked this off, I just want to see the team playing. As you mentioned earlier, you spent a whole summer with nothing to do on Saturdays, and then the season turns up, and then it kind of stutters into life. And it's just another way of looking at it is
only one weekend. and you know, it kicks off again on Saturday, and
I think we'll
off again. Yeah, and we have got what 9.5 months of it, of lots of lovely, lovely football to come. So maybe we're being a little bit mean spirited by begrudging, you know, the international scene there one.
I don't begrudge it. As we said, and maybe this is still unresolved in my mind, but it's just, I just think the timing is just it's a bit too soon.
Mm. But the injury issues are always a problem, and that is something.
I mean, injuries do crop up quite a lot at the start of the season. There's a lot of tight hamstrings out there, isn't there?
But that's why, going back to what you were talking about earlier, and about how players tend to sort of perhaps get injuries just prior to that, is that I suspect that for their club, they'd be willing to play through those injuries, and their clubs would be willing for them to play through those injuries. But if it means to go and play for another team, it's like, well, actually, you know, we'd rather you not take the chance of them getting... I would rather take the chance of you, of this guy getting an injury if he's playing in a league game for me. I don't want to take that same chance. You know, I don't mind my boss yelling at me because my star striker is injured, even though he's playing through a slight hamstring issue.
Mm.
Yeah, but I do mind my boss yelling at me because I played because I allowed my star striker to go and play for England and the same thing happens. And so I can kind of understand, I think that's reasonable, that if there is any kind of slight doubt, then say, oh, well, it would be better just to keep him at home. But it's irritating, and it leads to embarrassing situations. You remember, well, if you all remember that, I'm sure you remember the 2008 European Championship qualifying for England, when John Terry missed the game against Croatia, which we lost, and failed to qualify, and days later, he's on the pitch starting for Chelsea. And, you know, obviously being John Terry, he was booed because he's a fairly unpopular guy anyway. But it's probably the same principle. It was just like, he probably just had a little, well, we can't really risk him. I mean, he's not our player.
So, and I think that's the thing. Kind of all the players in a bit, maybe just to make sure that the risk isn't taken.
English cricket players have got central contracts, haven't they? Yeah. See, England football players don't have that. They're not, so, you know, their priority is to their clubs. They're paying their wages.
The 2008 qualifying, though, it looked like we definitely weren't going to qualify. And then all of a sudden, the results went in our favour. And it certainly did look like
Russia v Israel thing,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah. But by which time, these players had already pulled out the squad and so couldn't play. So,
well, John Terry was wearing a very natty polo shirt, standing on the side there, and, you know, and standing behind, you know, Steve and his brolly, and it was all very embarrassing and extremely unpleasant.
Mm.
I think that's the thing, though, isn't it? When England are doing okay, it's an annoyance, but when they fail, suddenly fingers get pointed and people accuse them of lack of commitment.
Mm.
And it is difficult to be committed, isn't it? And it's particularly difficult to be committed now. The season's just started. You know, these are really, really important stages for everybody. Every expectation is high. Fans are really on it. Attendances are probably very high. Yeah, the whole tone of a season could be set now, and then you've got to stop and go and play an international game against Moldova.
You have to go and play on that bobbly pitch.
Well, it's funny, I remember, I wasn't there, but I remember that stadium, because it's the same stadium that we played them in 96, and it's changed a lot. Mm. It's all been enclosed and everything like that. But yeah, but players shouldn't have a problem with playing on bobbly pitches. But
well, it happens. We see at the Leaf.
As we do see at the Leaf,
It doesn't really give us a home advantage, though, does it?
No, it's not. And when we saw, if you remember, West Ham play there last year, it didn't cause them any problems at all.
No, to
take us off international football.
Yeah, in fact, West Ham reserves seemed to make it look like an absolute bowling green, didn't they?
they had no problems. Strange, that. Mm. But there you go. As they say, I'm not going to say it.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we are a bit harder in this country on international football, though. It's something that we see as something that you shouldn't really trust. It's not club football after all, and I think that's with all the home nations. I mean, it is that problem. So it's very difficult for us to get into the mindset of what everyone else in the world thinks about it.
Do we know that? I mean, you're quite keen on your German football. What are the Germans? What's the German view on the national side?
Similar. Really? In my impression, certainly from the fans' perspective, mm-hmm. Obviously they have higher expectations of success. They probably have the same high expectations of success as a lot of England fans do. But obviously the Germans' expectations are based on more solid foundations.
Yeah.
Germans obviously being a sort of better team than England. Although to see them against Italy in Euro 2012, you wouldn't necessarily say that. But you know, from my experience of talking to German football fans, or rather Germans who, you know, I say Bundesliga fans, that they find it as frustrating, particularly this season, because the Bundesliga season started late. Mm. So they only had two fixtures, and then they had to break up for the international break, and so it's unpleasant. I wouldn't be surprised if this was the case in most of the senior leagues. Probably feel the same way as the English do. I don't think it's just an English thing, or indeed, I'm sure the Scottish probably feel the same way as well, but maybe for different reasons. They might well feel a little bit tedious because obviously Scotland's not very good right now.
Well, there's been a change in how it all works up there because of the Rangers thing. So whether a lot of people... I mean, if you're a Celtic fan, whether you're going to take the season very seriously or not, I don't know, because it's kind of...
I think you will, because you know, you're going to win it, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, I know, but it's...
Yeah.
Not going to be that difficult, is it?
Yeah, you're going to win it for the next 3 years as well. Yeah, at least.
But I heard, and again, I shall play my unresearched fat joker, and say that I had heard that there was only one Celtic player in that Scotland squad that played Serbia, and they started from the bench. I assume that that's because Celtic squad is quite international. Or it could be that I'm completely wrong, and I misheard that. But listeners can obviously write in and... put it straight.
Yes. Actually, we can make a theme of this. We could actually put in deliberate mistakes for people to write it.
That's too Soccer AM. Remember Soccer AM used to do that. Gone Fishing.
Oh, right.
Yeah. In fairness, that was when Soccer AM was good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there was a time when Soccer...
Was it a fox?
When Fatboy Slim played, when they used the Fatboy Slim as their theme tune, Soccer AM was quite good. But
and then they spoil it all when Tim Lovejoy left. That's not what I think.
It's going against consensus. Yeah.
Where's the old even still on?
I think it is. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, I don't think any of our listeners will know either.
Mm.
Yeah, being listeners of fine and refined taste.
Well, I think the clock on the wall is telling us that
absolutely
we should wind this conversation up.
Well, so that brings us to the close of number 123.
Yeah,
and my first solo flight.
I know. How do you think it went?
Well, I'm still quite bitter about the whole Liverpool player and my mistake about him.
Raheem Sterling.
Yeah.
No, don't worry. You'll never forget it now.
Yeah, I know. I do have an ace in my sleeve from the warm-up, which I won't mention.
Yeah, and because you have no evidence.
Or do I? Okay, so to wrap it up, thank you very much for listening.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Through our website sofpodcast.com, via Twitter @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.